Our scripture lesson for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, the TV program, news program, 60 Minutes, did kind of a special thing one night. They had a police officer gathered together about six or seven parents, and each of them had a child that was roughly 5 or 6 years old, and took them to a neighborhood park in New York City, kind of a playground for the children. And he had asked each of the parents ahead of time to, before they let their children go out to play, to very carefully instruct them not to ever go away with a stranger and to be careful of strangers. And after about 15 or 20 minutes of the children playing, the police officer had a fellow officer who was plainclothes go into the children with a photograph of a dog. And he went up to little kids and he said to them, "I lost my puppy. Can you see if you can help me find my puppy?" And the kids looked around and things, and one by one, he led the little children away from that park. And of course, the parents were just absolutely appalled. He approached them as if he was friendly, and he approached them as if he really didn't have any evil intent. Luckily, he didn't. And approached them as if what he was trying to have them do was something actually kind of good. Martin Luther talks about the devil as the white devil. And what he means by that is there are sometimes when the devil comes to us, he appears to be trying to give us something, appears to be offering us things that are going to benefit us and that are good for us and that on the surface maybe don't seem quite so bad at all. But ultimately his goal is to walk us away from Christ, is to steal us away. And this is why Jesus refers to him as the father of lies. And even as he's now approaching the Son of God himself, our Lord, we see he's taking this same approach. He's offering things to him that don't seem so bad on the surface. We're told then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now notice something here. Jesus embarks on this very willfully, very intentionally, directly aimed at a confrontation with Satan. And all three persons of the Trinity are involved. This is God's plan and directive. Unlike maybe when the devil comes to us and it's against our will as Christians to have to deal with him, this is the Son of God himself. He goes forth into battle directly. Just like young David, knowing of the backing that he had of God behind him, went forward to fight Goliath. Now, Jesus has just been baptized. This Matthew 3 ends with the baptism of Jesus. And then it says, then he went off to be tempted in the wilderness. And the same thing happens to us. As soon as you and I, by God's grace, were given the waters of baptism, we were taken from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, St. Paul says. And as soon as that happens in our baptism, when we renounce the devil and all of his wicked works and ways, immediately the warfare is engaged. Immediately the devil now wants to take you back to the darkness. And he'll try to find any possible way to make that happen. He'll try to appeal to anything in your life, any little way that he can get into your life to try to ultimately take you back into the darkness of unbelief. Notice here how well he knows Scripture. The devil uses the Bible against the very one who wrote the Bible to try to mislead him off of his mission. Remember, one of my sem profs used to say, boy, the devil is a brilliant theologian. Never underestimate what a theologian he is. And he will use anything he can, even twisting Scripture itself, to try to bring people away from Christ. Martin Luther used to say that in the average Christian life, there are three stages of temptation where, granted, all these temptations are around us all the time, but they're magnified at certain stages of life. At the youngest stage of life, which you would be in as college students, it's primarily temptations of lust. The second stage of life, Luther says, as you get into your middle ages, tends to be the temptations toward materialism and the things of this world. And the final stages of life, he says, are usually the temptations of doubt. And having been in all three of those now, I can tell you they're all still present in my life, of course. But that is so very true. There's just different times when they're magnified in our lives. And he'll often try to find people at a moment of weakness. Notice Jesus here has been fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. Remember years ago when I was a young pastor, I had an older pastor who was retired come to me. He'd spent his whole public ministry helping people stay with Christ and know God's grace and forgiveness and things. But he came to see me and he broke down and he was having such a hard time as his health declined. And the devil was tempting him to have doubts about his salvation. And I just thought, wow, here's somebody that dedicated their life to being in the position I'm in, to try and help someone in these situations. And even here, even he, in these difficult moments of his life, was struggling with that. But it's important for us to remember, as we see our Lord go to battle here, that Christ Jesus, as the Son of God, is far greater than this enemy or any enemy that could be out there. And God has chosen to defeat the powers of hell with very simple, lowly things, starting with the birth of a baby, with a little bitty child in a manger, just a little handful of water in your baptism, the bread and wine blessed with Christ's words to receive his body and blood at the sacrament, just some words that come from an old book. These are things that the world mocks and laughs at, and yet God uses them. And it shows the dominant power and superiority that heaven has over the powers of hell. That even through these simple, lowly things, God can be defeating the devil. For us fights the valiant one. And he came into this world for this very specific purpose. I love this passage from Hebrews. Christ shared in our humanity so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil. At the end of World War II, there were towns out in the middle of South Dakota where there were people that had not even been close to either Europe or Asia for any of these battles. But when the war came to an end, they just broke out in celebration. They had parades in the street and decorated their city because of this great victory, even though they had not been the ones directly engaged in it. And the reason was because their citizenship in America was now going to benefit this. Their young people were going to be coming back. The economy was going to change. There were a whole lot of different things that they had a reason to celebrate simply by their citizenship in the United States. You, as a baptized child of God, as a believer in Christ through faith in him, even though you and I are not the ones that go out into the wilderness for 40 days to battle with the devil, we benefit from the great victory that our Lord Jesus has won for us, not only there, but on the cross and in his resurrection. We benefit that in a very simple, lowly way through faith. When our hearts, by the Holy Spirit, are caused to grab onto the Savior and trust in him and put our confidence in him, that is the victory that we get to be a part of as well. So through that faith, God has connected you to this event and to the very strength and power of our Lord Jesus, who defeats him with the word of God, his own word, the very word you're listening to here in chapel today, the very word that God implants down into your heart. Years ago in the Middle Ages, Christian soldiers would often take their swords and on the wooden handle would carve a cross to remind them of the power of the word of God that God had given to them. The sword of the Spirit. May God continue to bless you in this precious faith by which you constantly, day by day, defeat the devil. And may he give you always a love and a grip on that word of God that will someday take you to your citizenship in heaven. Amen.